views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter. And this week we are on step 12 of the practice of living awareness, which is toroidal flow. So Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we get into discussing it with our guest?
Sure. Toroidal flow is a really interesting concept. And for those of you who may be listening to Spirit Fire Radio for the first time, we take the practice of living awareness, which is Spirit Fire's own meditation practice, and we like to explain ways that the tools that we teach during our meditations can be taken off the meditation cushion and applied to everyday life. These are tools that you can use every day in your relationships, on your workplace, at your time walking around town, your time cooking dinner. Meditation is not just, it's not just for the mat. It is actually an experience and it is a process that we can integrate into our daily lives. That's when it really becomes a living awareness. So our program is 14 steps in 14 weeks, and we've been covering so many steps in this round on Spirit Fire Radio. We're at step number 12. So we are approaching the end, and this step is called toroidal flow. So that's an interesting word. A lot of first-time practitioners sort of scratch their head with, what is this toroidal flow? It sounds sort of so odd. Well, toroidal flow is about cause and effect. We, through the practice, have been talking so much about light. We've been talking about bringing light into the mind, about lightness of being, about generating light. Well, how do we generate light? Well, actually, our body, our mind, our being on a spiritual level, on a physical level, is full of toruses. So a torus is really this mechanism that creates a toroidal flow. If you were to look it up in a dictionary, it would say something like this, that it is a scientific phenomenon that is describing energy flowing in one vortex through a central channel, a central axis rather, and out of another vortex, and then wrapping itself around to return to the first incoming vortex. So it looks a bit like a donut, comes in one funnel to the center, goes out, picks up all kinds of information, and then brings it back to inform this shape. So it's really a fundamental form of balanced energy flow, and it's found in all kinds of sustainable systems. It's actually evolution in action. Your heart is a torus. Blood comes in, goes to the lungs, it's oxygenated, it goes back out to your body, oxygen is delivered, and it comes back in. You can think about eating organic strawberries. There's something to that. You are making a choice that is bringing something that is sustainable, something good for the planet, into your consciousness, onto your plate, and you're letting farmers know that this is important to you, and that supply and demand, that's sort of a version of toroidal flow. So we see these in tornadoes. We see them all over the natural world. So we use this in meditation as a way to bring higher spiritual energies in and bring them into our system, and then we express that out. We become a light in the world. And through this constant generating of light, the world becomes lighter. We become lighted beings, and we add to that. So all of that information brings us to a very, very special guest. We have got Dwayne Carpenter on the show today, who is a really amazing artist. So I first became aware of Dwayne from his website, which is called lightweaver.com. So here we are again talking to a visual artist on the show. And I know sometimes it gets complicated because you want to see what it is that we're talking about. But Dwayne is so articulate with his descriptions. And what he has done is taken these ideas of vortexes, of toruses, and created visuals that are often 3D, often in motion. And 2D art, you know, sometimes is not so easy to describe something that's in motion or that is moving. And Dwayne is just an expert at this. So, you know, you've probably heard me talk on the radio station quite a bit that I teach esoteric healing, which has to do with the chakras. And a lot of times our students see, think of, or experience chakras not so much in a three-dimensional way. They sort of get stuck in their thought forms. I've shown them images that Dwayne has created, and their whole interpretation and their whole experience of a chakra, the thoughts around them, are transformed forever. They understand the way that a chakra takes energy in, the way that it creates form, the way that it expresses outward, and their work in working with energy centers is completely changed. So he has done great service and has been of great help to me, and I couldn't be more thrilled to have him on the show. A little bit about Dwayne: he holds 3 U.S. patents on light technologies, and these devices are used for spiritual alignment and assessing rays with color. So rays are qualities of energy expressed, and these, we'll hear more about them, but these technologies that Dwayne has developed help assess these qualities that one might have within them. He's been a Kriya yogi for some 40 years, has spent time at Sivananda Yoga at Valmoran studying with Vishnu Devananda. He's studied hypnosis. The list goes on and on. Dwayne, welcome. Let's just bring you right on, because I could go on and on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being with you today.
Well, wonderful, Dwayne. You know, people heard me talk about lightweaver.com. This website is chock full of information, of imagery. One could sit and spend days, weeks in front of your website. It is really masterful and so much an accomplishment behind this body of work. I'm wondering if you could just tell us in your words, your intention for lightweaver.com and a little bit of your inspiration in creating this website.
Well, thank you. I would say that after studying the ancient wisdom teachings from many diverse sources, I realized that each person needed more than information to really go into a place of living spiritual intention. So I took a lot of information and a lot of background knowledge, and as a growing graphic artist, I began to put a lot of these concepts into symbols and images, and particularly animated images that are more fourth dimensional and are closer in approximation to the energies themselves rather than through words, just the description.
Beautiful. And really, this is a lot of sacred geometry that you're working with. I'm wondering if you could tell the listeners a little bit when you talk about ageless wisdom, just in your own terms, could you define ageless wisdom for us so that listeners might understand what you mean when you say that?
Yes. The term ageless wisdom was really brought to the West by a great adept and luminary called H.P. Blavatsky at the turn of the last century. And she spent her entire life traveling through many foreign countries and living with different spiritual communities. And she took all that information and she put it into several volumes. One is called The Secret Doctrine, and the other is called Isis Unveiled. And what she did is she outlined all of the accrued wisdom from many diverse sources that really were alluding in directing the student to the oneness, to the perennial philosophy that encompasses everything. So the ageless wisdom is simply a term that indicates it's a type of understanding and wisdom that keeps reoccurring because it's always there and it's always being revealed when we apply ourselves to discover it.
Well, discovery is a beautiful word, because the truth that's inherent in so much of the ageless wisdom comes forth. You can really feel it in your being. You can feel it in your mind, in your heart. And I am as well a student of the ageless wisdom, and find so much truth to be revealed. Not unlike your work with the Taurus. So I'd love to go straight to it, because that's the subject of the show. We toroidal flow is a step of our practice. So it is really all about the breath. Even bringing the breath in and the breath going out generates a field. We're generating magnetic fields. So our system is built up of chakras, all of these Tauruses that are working to create our now, to create who we are. So I would love to hear, if I could, in your words, the Taurus, because it does factor so much into the ageless wisdom. The ageless wisdom has so much to do with sort of the mechanisms in the ways in which consciousness expresses in form. And a Taurus, although it's not mentioned often, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong, the actual word Taurus, but I'd love to hear in your words a little bit about the Taurus, why it inspires you, and first of all, just in your words, the Taurus.
Well, I think that one of the most important questions that each spiritual disciple asks themselves is, what is energy? What is spiritual force? How does it come into me? How does it leave? And when you understand the dynamic of the Taurus, and I think you've done a eloquent job outlining what a Taurus is and what it does, it becomes a fourth dimensional image or symbol that really indicates movement. And if I were to help add to some of the things that you said earlier, I would point out that these Tauruses or spheres, which have an inlet and an outlet, there's one for each body. So if you can imagine your etheric body is a sphere with an inlet and an outlet, it's a toroid, and then you have your emotional body, which is also a sphere with an inlet and an outlet, and that's where the vortex comes in, and go right up to the mental, to the level of the heart, to the level of the spiritual will. Step back in your imagination and visualize like those toroids being like skins on an onion, so that each one encloses the next. They're separate, and yet they're one organic entity when taken as a whole. And when energy flows from above down, it will have to pass through these channels. And if there's any blockages or any divergent of energy away from this descent from sphere to sphere through vortex to vortex, you will get illness and disease. So all spiritual meditation and prayer, although not always recognized, is nothing more than opening these channels to the descent, like Jacob's ladder of energy, to step down, step down, step down, until it reaches us on the physical plane. And you can also see that imagery in the symbol of the lotus, that you have one tier of petals in the lotus that opens to the sunlight, to the inner spiritual sun, and then you have another tier that opens, but it comes from within the center out. And that is a very difficult concept to wrap your mind around unless you've had direct experience of this movement of energy. And so from one initiation, one stage of development to another, you penetrate the skins of the onion and the tears of the petal of the lotus unfold and unfold, giving you tremendous insight and experience of the inner person, as opposed to just studying intellectually
Beautiful, beautifully, articulately said. I love it. You know, you really keyed a lot of wonderful words that practitioners have experienced through meditation. One of our steps is alignment and asana, where we are really trying to align these centers so there are no distortions, so we don't have any blockages, and sort of becoming aware of the ways in which energy can move down from higher to lower, and not only from higher to lower, but horizontally from inner to outer and outer to inner. And the breath reveals so much about that. The step prior to this is ground of being, where we're actually bringing these energies down from above through our center and down into the earth, where we become, in a sense, the sort of center point of that axis, where energy coming out from the universe in through us, and we are then become the expressions of this energy and down into the earth for the result. And then all of that reporting our experience back to us and adding to sort of this unfolding of consciousness, of awareness, and our participation in it. So everything you said was just so beautifully put and aligns with all of the steps of the practice that we've gone through thus far. Now, there was a wonderful image that was circulating the internet, and you also had a delightful, really intriguing version of it on your website that was tracking the – now, please correct me, Dwayne. I wasn't prepared to mention this, but when you spoke it came to mind. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was the orbit of Venus around the sun. And as you followed that path, if you followed the points of light, it created somewhat of a lotus. Is that ringing a bell to you?
Yes. All of the planets, as they rotate around the sun, and the sun corks through space, creates different triangular relationships in certain geometric forms that reveal exquisite patterns of great depth and beauty. And one of them is the flower, like the lotus or the rose. And we are patterned after the planets that are patterned after the stars. So we contain within us in miniature these exquisite geometric forms that are appearing and disappearing and reappearing in new and more beautiful ways all the time.
Mm, beautiful. And so would you say then that the petals of this lotus are really just that? It is energy in motion, and it is us being able to sort of capture that in a sort of time space, that we can look at that pattern in motion, that's the pattern that's being created by the motion. Is that essentially all of the lotus imagery that we see? Is it really just that points of light moving in a geometrical pattern?
Yes. Now, each person may experience it slightly differently, but the symbology is true for everyone. Mm.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'd love to hear a little bit about the process. What I find with your work is that it's equal parts visual on Lightweaver. Again, for the listeners, if you just joined in, we're talking to Dwayne Carpenter, whose website is light-weaver.com. I guarantee you will be bookmarking this website and you will be going back to it again and again. Volume upon volume of amazing writing, of a life's work of research. What I find interesting is as I read about a Taurus and then I click on a GIF and I watch it in motion, what's interesting is what happens within sort of my mind and my psyche, even my emotional body. There's a recognition of the knowledge. So I can read about the Taurus or can read about the image that you're about to put forth. And then when I watch the image, it delivers so much knowledge that is beyond the words. It's almost like I become entrained with this energy and sort of have this inner knowing of, wow, I know this. What's happening there? Is it that I'm really just I'm recognizing that within me? I'm wondering if what comes first? Is it that you have studied these these patterns in motion and you have learned and then the writing comes forth? Or have you developed these drawings from, you know, a lifetime of really studying all of this amazing literature?
Both. They're interchangeable. And it really is sort of hard to define where one process begins and ends. But let me just explore a little bit about the toroidal flow, because this is one of the keynotes of the new age of Aquarius we're moving into. In a living sphere of light, you have a torus. The torus is where energy enters, and there's a torus where energy is exited, almost as if you took an apple and split it right down the middle and looked at the beautiful geometry of it. But what we have to keep in mind is that the torus energy coming down is spiraling counterclockwise, and the energy coming out at the bottom, as you earlier qualified, is spiraling back up. And the ability for the mind to understand energy going in two directions at the same time is well high impossible. However, if you have an image that you can look at, you can say, wow, I can see how one entity, one living spherical life with two toruses, inlet and outlet, is really one being. Let me give you an example, and then I'm going to go on just for a minute on some of these new technologies. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were watching the Native Americans chasing the white man with his stagecoach or wagon across the plains? And at some point you looked at the wheels of that wagon and you said, that's odd. The wheel appears to be going at one moment clockwise and the other moment counterclockwise.
Yes.
And you see that phenomena quite frequently when you see fans that are illuminated by a light, fluorescent light that has a bad ballast. What it causes is aliasing, which is certain types of numerical geometric forms that appear to defy the imagination. And what I've developed in my new technologies is these large rotating wheels that the operator can sit in front of with the controls, and they can interface with it, and they can get just the right speed where they can create motion going to the right, motion going to the left, and then finally, motion going in two directions at the same time. So these new technologies are really hands-on, and they're one-on-one, and I'd love to share them with you in your beautiful community sometime.
That sounds amazing. So when you say one's going one way and one's going the other way directionally at the same time, you're actually creating a torus.
Yes, that is a torus seen in a cross section. In other words, a torus is an inlet and an outlet. There's two toruses to every sphere. To understand and see things spherically, and then to be able to step into that sphere, you often have to have some type of image to visualize in your meditation or your prayers to help you step into that which is not really outside of you, but is still elusive until you have the direct experience.
Well, I love that you say that, because that's exactly what I was getting at in my sort of question that was a non-question with what's really happening when I'm watching one of these toruses that you've created that are so beautiful with light and the movement and the motion. We realize that we have this fundamental experience as a part of our day-to-day. It's a part of our daily life. It is actually who we are in every regard. So I guess what I was getting at without actually saying it is, when you really look at these images and you meditate with them, or you sit in a sort of contemplative way, but not actually thinking, but just allowing the imagery to move through you, there is an aha that happens on every level of your system that says, I am that, and that is me. And it's something quite remarkable that happens in that instance. And as I was saying earlier, it happens with our students all the time, because we have them sensing energy centers with their hands, with their ajna, creating sort of triangulations, points of energy to sort of recognize these flows. And as soon as they see it, there's this immediate, yes, I understand, that is me. So we're going to go to a break in a minute. And when we get back, I'd like to talk about these this machine you've created, that you've got patents on it, and the uses of them. Because I can imagine, you said that once somebody is sitting in front of them, it frees them up, I would think, in a way, to sort of experience themselves as light and experience themselves as a vehicle for consciousness to not only enter and to exit, but to sort of become that sort of edge of where consciousness is expanding and evolving. And I look forward to hearing the ways in which you might, ways you've used that with people, and what their experience brings forward. So we'll talk about that when we come right back on Spirit Fire Radio.
Brand consultant and coach Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you are a person with a dream and unsure where to start, or a CEO of a successful company wondering what's next, Jen Morgan and the RAD method empowers you to play to your strengths and focus your competitive edge so you can show up in the world as your most powerful brand. Go to jenmorgan.com or call 206-972-5366.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Well, Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are having an interesting conversation about toroidal flow, about vortexes and toruses, and the ways that energy comes in through one vortex, out through another, and basically creates form, creates consciousness. It is the way that spiritual energy moves into our system and allows us to express awareness, express consciousness. And we use this in meditation. We use this in the practice of living awareness. We become aware of the ways in which cause and effect, in the ways in which what we bring in affects what we put out, and the ways in which what we put out affects what we bring in. It kind of sounds like karma. We're talking to Dwayne Carpenter today, who is just a phenomenal artist. He has got a website called lightweaver.com. It's light-weaver.com. And it's called that because he is really talking about weaving light, about the way light forms and transforms all that we know. He has got 3 U.S. patents on devices that we were just talking about before we went to the break. Dwayne, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
So we were talking about these devices that actually create rotary motion, that show light moving in at the same speed in 2 different directions. It actually allows us to entrain with a torus. So I'm wondering if we could continue that conversation and you could let us know how you've used this machine, how you've used these inventions.
Good. What I've done is taken like a large fan and dismantled it and colored the fan with its appendages with different fluorescent colors and geometric forms. And then I've taken black light LEDs, connected them up to a major electronic board where I can control the speed of the fan and the pulse of the black light that are illuminating the rotating blade.
I see.
And it's a little more technical than this, but for our purposes, that is basically what the machine is. Now, when somebody operates it in total darkness, they will find that as they operate the controls, that at certain speeds, what appears as simply just rotary motion, you're watching something spinning around and around, it suddenly goes fourth dimensional. It becomes a spiral, like a corkscrew. And this is where you're experiencing spiral cyclic motion, which is really very close to what we are and who we are on these inner dimensions. Mm. So the machine, under the operation of somebody in deep meditation, in introspection, can create a bridge that can help facilitate the operator into their own process, into their own torus, their own spherical life. And it's done with the 7 prismatic colors of the rainbow, and each person eventually finds which colors speak to them, which ones they feel a special affinity for. And I have special techniques where, through the breath, you draw in these colors, you feel them going through your physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies, and can be used for healing and cleansing. And it's a very, very advanced and very progressive technology that will be used more and more in the future.
Wow, it sounds wonderful. I would love to experience that. I don't know how we do. We have to get blackout curtains for the retreat center. Our retreat center is nothing but light. But I can imagine.
Yes.
And is this done one-on-one, or is this done in a group?
I have many different size light weaver machines. The smallest has a 7-inch blade, and it's more one-on-one use.
Right.
The largest I have is 7 feet, and it's good for up to 200 people.
Wow. And so would the person controlling this, would does it matter if they are sort of entrained or if they're sort of meditatively aligned with an individual, or they can do it for the whole group? So that would sort of be a whole entire group vibration that you would be generating.
Well, I think you've really got the key here, that our individual work is very important to heal, to become whole, and to become spiritually aware. But there's another stage that's more advanced, and it's becoming more recognized, and that is group meditation, where a whole group of people can sit in a room, and they can follow, generically speaking, because we don't want to be rigid about our meditations, but follow a prescribed meditation in which the whole group is pouring energy onto the planet using the Light Weaver machine simply as an intermediary for worlds in planetary healing.
Amazing. I love that. And I love that you mentioned the Aquarian Age, because really this is the Aquarian Age. I like to think of the Aquarian Age, for those who might not know, we are on the precipice. We're at the beginning, we are in the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And I like to think of the Piscean Age sort of as the boardroom, the long table with one head at the board and everybody along the board members looking up to the president of the board. You can think of a really long office table. And I like to think of an Aquarian Age as a round table where each person is equal and can see everyone and has got their own part to play, but equal parts that create the whole of that round. So as you were describing that, I sort of could sense the energy behind the Aquarian motivations of this really large group generation machine. How wonderful, Dwayne! What a great device. I hope we can have you here someday and we can experience it.
Let me give an example from a different point of view. We're talking basically about spiritual discipleship and growth from below up. Hypothetically, and just for fun, let's imagine that we were members of the spiritual hierarchy that is guiding this planet. Now, whether you see it as the spirit of the earth, whether you see it as a master, Christ, Buddha, the Bodhisattva, Lord Maitreya, terms are not important, but let us imagine this great overriding spirit that's coming onto the planet and trying to infuse itself through groups and individual people. How are they going to do that? And my work and some of my revelations have indicated that they're at the upper end of the torrids, and they're sending down these gift waves or this healing light and love and power and vibration. But until we learn their technique, until we learn their nature, we are not going to be able to receive their gifts. We can always just say, oh, I'm going to do it my way. And everyone does have a unique approach, but we must learn to work within groups that are receiving these high impressions.
I would love to just say that again. That was so poignant that you said, you know, we must really be able to learn their nature, that is group nature, and it is what we are aspiring to. We are aspiring to group. As we make that move into the heart, we are really becoming that group essence and that group consciousness. I thought it was interesting earlier in our conversation, Dwayne, that you, when you were talking about the various bodies and the various Tauruses, you were talking about the physical, etheric, and the emotional, and these different layers of the onion, that you mentioned the heart. You mentioned the heart as an actual sphere. You mentioned that as actually one of the layers. And I think all of us who have learned to meditate where we're connecting heart-mind, which is a step within the practice, that on some level we're tapping into the nature of this sort of spiritual hierarchy that is guiding us as a humanity toward our evolution. I think we can tap into that through the heart, would you say?
Yes. One of the most painful words for many New Age people and spiritual disciples is hierarchy. Most of them, rightfully, are trying to get away from human hierarchy, the industrial military complex, government, all kinds of organizations that are trying to control you, namely to sap your energy, to take away your resources. The spiritual hierarchy is different. And I appreciate your analogy about the table. At the head of the true spiritual table, it's round, and everybody takes their place, and everybody is the head of the spiritual table. And it's a difficult thing for people who have been conditioned to get in line, behave, do what you're told, to realize that they can break free from this if they have the right techniques.
Yeah, yeah. And it's where your work comes in so handy. It really allows people, I find, to tap into their truest essence. And there is something about recognizing at the core of your being, there being both an inlet and an outlet that connects us to all that is around us, that all that we say, all that we do affects everything around us, and everything around us in turn affects us. And it makes us apart. It makes us interconnected, interdependent. And it really is it really is the way of evolution. Your words are music to my ears, Dwayne. Hey, listen, we have a caller that has been waiting patiently, that has been inspired by the show. And I was wondering, Dwayne, would you mind if we invite her on for a minute?
Please do.
Wonderful. So, Justin, you want to connect us with a caller?
Yes, absolutely. Sandra from Colorado, you are on the air.
Hi, Sandra. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. Thank you for waiting so patiently. Welcome. Sandra, are you still there?
Yes, I am here.
Hey, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. How are you?
Thank you. I did have a question for the speaker. I wanted to know about that that machine that makes the I was like a one-on-one where you sit in front of it and stare at the light until it looks like it's floating in the darkness, and then I think he said that your energy and your light identifies with it, or I didn't quite get that. That's my question. When that light seems to be almost like floating off of the wheel, it's not directly, your mind's not directly connecting it to the fan, but now you're starting to get sort of a transformable thing where it seems like it's just floating off. What's happening to you? Is that a significant thing?
Yes, that's a great question. And I would love to hear that again as well. So, Dwayne, Sandra's asking if we could just articulate a little more the experience. You were talking about it transforming into a spiral, and maybe perhaps what an individual is doing. Are they sitting eyes open? Are they sitting eyes closed? And what's the desired effect? What are we reaching for?
I would say that...
I didn't know that was a question for me or for the speaker.
I'm having a little difficulty hearing the caller.
Yeah. Sandra, did I get the question pretty good?
Yes.
Okay, great.
We need new and more dynamic symbols to help us pass from the human sphere into these more elevated and divine levels. And the light weaver is nothing more than a symbol of who you are on a higher level. Mm. When you experience transformation using the light weaver, it's not the light weaver that's doing it. It is your own soul, your own higher self contacting you, but it's a intermediary symbol that's living. Because when you see it, you can reproduce it in your mind's eye. In your imagination, you can powerfully charge up that image, because that is really what does the magic. It's not the machine itself. And as humanity evolves, the truth is always the same. The spiritual perennial truth remains ever the same, but our approach to it will be adjusted and conform to the times. Man is much more advanced and much more sophisticated mentally, and so he needs much more powerful images to connect with and use.
Beautifully said. I think that was a very full answer. And I've experienced that myself. I would invite the listener to go to lightweaver.com and look under, there is a tab called Dynamic Symbols. And many of these symbols, I wouldn't say, certainly, Duane, I know you would probably agree that they're not going to create that same effect, but someone would have a similar experience of sort of reaching toward a fundamental truth of who we are, and somehow it elevates one's spirit. It connects you to the truth of your innermost, which is what we're doing in meditation all the time. So this creation is actually there, I can imagine, to really take you there. I mean, this is cooking with gas with the light weaver, huh?
Let me give you an example. It has been said that one picture is worth a thousand words. What then shall we say of an animated picture in motion? In other words, there's three different levels. There's three different dynamics here. There's the word, and it is a symbol in itself, but it has many limitations. And the mind in using words is only good to a certain point. Then you need to take that into meditation and recreate in the picture-making faculty or the imagination of the student what it is they're attempting to do, the bridge they're trying to build, the spheres they're trying to move into. And this is where the animated ones more closely approximate the real truth. The mind speaks words, it's quite removed. The symbols that are created, they come even closer, but animated images are much more intimate.
And when you say, Duane, the build the bridges, could you articulate on that a little more, the bridges they're trying to build? If you could tell us if that's part of this process, if in meditating with the light weaver, if we are experiencing the torus, experience ourselves as toroidal flow, and actually moving into these other realms of the structures of light, is that the act of building a bridge, or is it more?
Well, there are seven basic schools of yoga, and I won't review them here because it would take up too much time. But you might summarize those seven schools by saying they're either more occult or more mystical. And what is the mystical path? And these are just generalizations because there's many places of overlapping. The mystical path is, I'm going to be a good person, which is all important. And I'm going to sort of just sort of wait for transformation. I'm going to do good acts, but I'm basically going to wait for the transformation to come to me. Now, the occult path is a little different. It is the path of you can co-create. You have the power to co-create. Somebody is speaking in the background and having a little difficulty hearing.
There we go. Sorry about that, Duane. Go on.
And the occult path is that you do not have to sit around passively and wait, that by taking mental energy, you can build bridges. Now, yes, at some point you want to go beyond the mind. Everybody knows that. But do not recognize the importance of the mind as an intermediary between yourself and spirit, because the lower mind goes to the higher mind when you project it, when you build bridges, when you use intention, when you bring in the power of will. So you're working with your emotions, your mind, your heart, and your will. And you can project these threads of light. You can weave with light. And it's more active, but when it's balanced with what we call more passive meditation, it can be a great way to build bridges and then let what's up there pour down into your life.
Which I love this idea of us becoming these generators. And what the visuals that come to mind while you're explaining the building of this bridge to higher spiritual energies and then allowing them to pour down, I think one thing I'm getting out of this conversation is that we are surrounded by toruses and by toroidal flow. It is the mechanism by which all that is co-creative exists. And I think the co-creative part is that upper and lower coming together. That seems to me to be the co-creative aspect. And we've got these little miniature toruses that are all of our chakras. When our chakras are aligned, when our centers are aligned, then we become a vehicle that can build that bridge. So it seems to me to be so many toruses that what they all come together as these sort of layers of the onion, and they become ourselves, and our higher selves allow us to connect to our innermost, to our heart, to our lower mind, to our higher mind. And that's the result of all of these toruses working together, right? A sort of in cooperation, so that we then can build a bridge to the next layer of the onion until we become the onion. Is that putting it in sort of too crude of terms?
No, not at all. And simplicity is needed in the final analysis, because God, our divine selves, are very, very powerful. But that experience of love and joy and beauty and peace is very simple. Let me share one little anecdote. There was a great esotericist at the turn of the century that came from Europe over to here, and his name was Gurdjieff. And he had a phrase that he had his students repeat often. And it's a rather curious one. And when I first heard it, I thought, wow, I never looked at it that way. And this is what he said. He said, "Let us join together to help lift the burden of our common Father in heaven." And when I first heard that, I thought, what? Our common Father in heaven? He doesn't need our help. We need his help, or her help, depending on how you want to look at it. And over the years, I've come to realize that we are cells within the body of God, whatever you conceive deity to be. And even though it may be stepped down and appear insignificant, it is not. We need to play our part, because if we're cells in the body of this great being, he really can't go to his next level until all the cells in his body go radioactive. And that's what we're attempting to do as humanity, to go radioactive, so that we can not only help ourselves, help each other, steward the other kingdoms, such as the vegetable, the mineral, and the animal, give them the honor and the dignity they deserve, but be able to help the whole system, the whole planetary body that we are part of.
Wow, pure poetry. Because in helping the lower kingdoms, we really are then adding to the perfection of the layer that is the Taurus, that is the planet Earth. It's such an obvious Taurus, and we as a kingdom are so responsible for stewarding all of the kingdoms and playing our part in aligning so that we can be stewarded, as you talk about the higher forms and the part we play. So, Dwayne, this hour just went by. We are nearing the end of the show. I thank you so much for all of the insights and really wonderful descriptions. I am certain that the listeners have a new way of looking at this idea of the toroidal flow. Once again, I want to invite listeners to go to light-weaver.com. There is so much intriguing literature on this site, amazing images. Be sure to have your flash player updated, because once these drawings go in motion, it is so transformative. I know Dwayne encourages people to use them in meditation. There's so much to say about Rumi on your site. We didn't even get there. We could talk about Rumi for 3 hours. I know he is a really important figure in your life. So Rumi enthusiasts, there's so much on lightweaver.com for that. Dwayne, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real treat.
It's been a real joy. I send my love to you, the wonderful work that you're doing, and all of our beautiful listeners.
Oh, thank you. Well, you keep spreading the word and doing the work, my brother. And we hope to see you on the East Coast at Spirit Fire sometime soon.
Excellent.
All right. So we will be back next week with the Central Channel. We're going to be talking to Dorothy Riddle again. It's going to be just an amazing show. We're so happy to have these awesome esotericists. It's just been a great season. So anyway, we'll be back next week with Spirit Fire Radio. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.